Let's lift our hands a little longer. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the family of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's join together in prayer for a moment. Pray for this service. Pray for all of our loved ones. I know there are many members of our congregation who are in need of prayer or battling serious illness. Keep them in mind. Sarah Thompson broke her leg yesterday, so pray for her. Then pray also, for this service, for everyone in this place, everyone that's hearing us online, for anointing on Pastor Phil as he ministers the word. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for the promise that you have given us that you will hear us, especially if there are two or more in one place. We believe, oh God, that you are near and never far. We pray, oh God, for your blessing on Sister Sarah, oh Lord, for healing, for recovery, for strength in her body and her mind and her spirit. We pray for these dear brothers and sisters who are battling serious illness, for Brother Tom Nelson, God, for Brother Pat Huber, for Sister Pat Puckett. We pray, God, for your blessing and your touch upon them, for healing. Even in this moment, Lord God, for miracles and signs and wonders for these who need them most, we pray in Jesus' name for your blessing on this service, your anointing upon Pastor Phil, and your blessing upon every member and every individual that's here this morning and everyone that is tuning in online, that your Spirit would minister and manifest your glory in our hearts and minds so that we may receive your word and your direction to do your will. We give you praise and we give you glory in all of this, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I need to share something with you, an uncomfortable element, but nonetheless, this is the body of Christ, and we are going to act like it. Pastor Roy has asked me to inform everyone. We know very well that a member of our assembly has been charged with assault, and we know that these are serious charges, and that were alleged to have occurred 25 or 30 years ago. The criminal charges, however, do not include Calvary Gospel Church. There seems to be some confusion on that point. The legal elements of this, therefore, do not only apply to the persons directly involved and their families. Keep that in mind and keep that in prayer, if you would. Neither Calvary Gospel Church nor any member of its staff, past or current, has been charged with a crime. So no member of the staff, past or present. As far as the negative public exposure of Calvary Gospel Church is concerned, we have been advised to make no public statement. Many of the media reports you may have heard are erroneous, probably because they reflect input of people whose object is to do Calvary Gospel Church harm. Pastor Roy, Bishop Grant, and the pastoral staff are doing what we can to be forthright and upfront with the authorities and with the members of Calvary Gospel Church. There's only so much that we know to be true in this matter, and the rest is hearsay, faulty memory, and gossip. For this reason, we're trying to be careful in what we say, and we want to make sure that we don't make a terrible situation worse. So we ask that you support this idea with prayer and with concern. If you have any questions, please direct them to your ministry leader, to one of the ministry pastors, or to myself, and we will do our best to help you understand this. Thank you, and please make this a matter of prayer daily, in Jesus' name.
That's awkward. Where's the clap? Like, yeah, good job, Brother Sy. For my sake, let's not. Amen. A couple more announcements here. If you're watching online, we've been over the past couple months have watched the trends, and folks tend to ramp up, so to speak, and it's about 10 minutes after that we get our full audience. So if you're watching online, just want to encourage you to catch it at the beginning, because we're going to start transitioning some of our announcements to the beginning of service in a video countdown. And so be mindful of that. So if you're wanting to know what's going on, catch the first few minutes of service right away. Just a few announcements for the upcoming weeks. Our all-church prayer and fasting begins tomorrow, goes through Wednesday. Amen. There's lots to pray and fast for going on in our world, our church, people's lives. Amen. So join together tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday for all-church prayer and fasting. And then this Friday, August 7th at 7 p.m., there is parking lot prayer. We've had a great time meeting together in the parking lot, in our cars. Some folks bring some chairs and sit outside their cars, and just it's a great time worshiping and praying again for our community and for the things at hand. So join us this Friday at 7 p.m. And then don't forget about our school supply donations are needed for our drive-through back-to-school bash. We're still going to hand out school supplies to the community because there are schools that are opening and those who are in need. And so you can place those donations. You probably saw the blue barrels in the lobby as you came in this morning. Or if you're online, you can bring those and drop those off at the church office during the week. Or if you're not a big fan of shopping for supplies or don't know what to get, you can just donate, indicate back to school bash, and our team will go out and buy those supplies for you. So it's going to be a great time. If you're interested in volunteering, you can see Sister Stephanie Thompson in the coming weeks, and she'll get you plugged in maybe on that day, et cetera, or setting up supplies, whatever. We're just going to bless our community. Amen? Amen. Amen. With that, look at your neighbor and just wink at him. Not like a weird, creepy wink, but just a wink. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Amen. Oh, before I get started, you know what? I have a favorite establishment, and there's an individual here who knows how much I visit this establishment. Please don't share how much I visit. But it is good to have my friend Angel from Mod Pizza here this morning. He was here last week. Amen. I have the mic, so I get to. But anyways, it's good to see you, Angel. And again, please don't share all how much I go. Not that you can tell or anything. At the beginning of July, my family and I went down to Florida to surprise my parents for their 50th anniversary. Don't worry, it was before all the spikes down in Florida, and we were kind of just in our own the house that we rented. But it was the first time that our 11-month-old Malachi had flown. And so the first time we had to account for four people in traveling. And it wasn't just driving, we flew. And so to accomplish the trek from your car to the airport gate, that's not an easy feat. Not only making sure two children don't disappear, but also the stack of stuff that you have. And parents, you know of active ones, those who remember those days, or those who just avoided that altogether. It's like, it's just easier. And sometimes it is. But you have to stack and organize all the bags, the strollers, car seats, etc. And everything has got to be perfect. You drop off the suitcases finally at the check-in place, and then you hit security on the way to your gate. And that's when everything falls apart. It just falls apart. Why? Because your shoes have to be taken off. If you haven't flown, you know what? It's just drive. Although you do get there quicker. Amen. Your choice. But if you've never flown, this is your going to be experience. Your shoes have to be taken off because they could be bombs. You have to take your belt off if it has metal in it, because you'll get, you know, flagged if you walk through with your belt on. And so into a bin they go, and there's a conveyor belt that goes through an x-ray, a scanning machine, and in a bin they go. And then it's followed by your cell phone. That's got to be out. Any loose change, add a backpack that I carry with all the snacks and everything in it. And then there's Josiah's backpack with all his toys and stuff to keep him occupied. Then there's the diaper bag with all its stuff in there, and then you place those on the conveyor belt. Also, you have to take out your tablet from your backpack and put it in its own separate bin because it could, I forgot, and I actually got pulled over after and pulled out. Anyways, but you have to pull your tablet out for some reason because it could be a bomb. And you put it in its own bin. And then same with your quart-sized Ziploc bag with your liquids. That has to be pulled out. Although this time we forgot and they never flagged us. So, haha, TSA. Then there's the stroller. And then the baby seat that goes into the stroller, connects into the stroller for the baby that we take with us. That gets checked in at the gate, but we take that. That goes through the scanner. And then there's the toddler car seat for our four-year-old, Josiah, that he uses in the plane. And so while an individual traveler may have one bin or two, the Demos family arrives, and we're at like eight bins and items, and there's this huge line behind us now. Because we have just completely ripped apart everything that we had just so perfectly had in order. And so we and our stuff finally make it through the body and luggage scanners. Oh, but wait. Then we're typically pulled over because they need to make sure our baby bottles that have water in them for formula are not actually nitroglycerin liquid bombs. And so you get tested for that. And they run it through some, I don't know, scanning thing. God bless you if you are a TSA agent. We appreciate your service, keeping us safe. Amen. I'm serious. And then you're done and go through, and you're through security. All that careful packing and stacking, and so you can walk through the airport with two children, and all your stuff is now completely taken apart. Out of order, out of place. You're dazed, you're confused, you're exhausted in only a matter of a few minutes. But you see, you have to get it all back together before you get on the flight. To help with the process right after security, there are typically benches for you to sit on and tables to do just that. Get everything back in your bags, back in place. And the Milwaukee Airport got it right when they labeled this area and all their terminals the recombobulation area. You could put that first image up. That is an official sign. And so with that airport security picture in our minds this morning, I want to speak today on the topic, the God of recombobulation. Amen. Now, recombobulation was not even a word when Milwaukee Airport's former director, Barry Bateman, made up the word in 2008. And had the marketing department create those signs that you see in this picture. And there again, they're in each terminal after security. While it wasn't a word, most of us could decipher its meaning because we're familiar with the word discombobulated. Now that is an awesome word. I mean, it's just fun to say, discombobulated. A whole lot more than recombobulation, and which I'm saying multiple times today, and praise God, the Lord will help me. But discombobulated is just a fun word. Meaning of discombobulated, to be in a state of confusion or disconcertion, to be upset or frustrated. There's a whole lot of meanings and ways it can be applied. It can mean disoriented, out of sorts. And so that was my family, completely discombobulated after a trip through security at the Milwaukee Airport, desperately in need of recombobulation. The fact of the matter is that, folks, we get discombobulated in life, don't we? Let's hear David talk about it. This is King David, a man after God's own heart, it's written in the Bible. He wrote much of the book of Psalms, and he was as real as all get out in his writings. And you know exactly what he was thinking and feeling at times. And so let's check out Psalms 38, starting in verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Going to verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. My kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. Wow. Any of these resonate with you today? He felt troubled, disturbed in his mind. Poor mental health. He bowed down greatly, speaks to depression, to shame, things of that nature. He was heavy-hearted. He had physical issues going on in his life. His heart was disquiet, meaning he was restless, uneasy about life. The light of his eyes was gone. Makes me think of that phrase, the spark in their eye. And so it makes me think of an individual who's feeling really lost in life, just going through life. He was having problems with relationships, friends, family, even enemies were ramping it up against him. If you read the whole chapter, you get a sense of a broken man. David's life in this moment was in disarray. His life was discombobulated. I know there is someone here this morning, someone watching online, someone who is watching or listening to the archive of this message. Maybe it's days, weeks, months, maybe a couple years from now. Felt that in my spirit, that someone whose life is discombobulated, and God has a word for you this morning. You may not be like David, who was getting hit left and right in all aspects of his life. Your life might not be crashing down. Maybe it's just one thing that has completely thrown you for a loop, and you're ready to throw in the towel. I'm speaking to someone to let you know or to remind you that Jesus Christ is the God of recombobulation. After going through security at the airport, there were no TSA officers to help put my stuff back together. No, we did it ourselves. And so let's be real. When it comes to our discombobulated lives, we don't naturally look to an outside source to recombobulate our lives. We try it on our own. We try to self-recombobulate. Just made that word up. The problem is we can't fix ourselves on our own. I mean, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together. So why do you think we can? Nursery rhyme, but yet you think about it. That's a deep thought. Whoever wrote that, I'd love to know the history. I didn't look into it, but was it their life was broken? And it's like, you know what? Everything around me, it can't put it back together. It's broken. What really happens in our efforts to fix things actually is more just a cover-up job or a patch job. And so while we may get down the road a little bit with willpower or trying our hardest, we just end up where we're ignoring the issues. We medicate the discombobulation in our lives. Lots of ways to medicate. We bury the issues deep down, cover it up, lock it away, hide it. Don't open that door. Just not going to think about that. Or we live with the issues as if they were normal. Proverbs 28:16 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." And you trust your own efforts to recombobulate your life. But yet we still try to do it on our own because we may have never been introduced or we never experienced God's recombobulation in our lives. We may have had experience with the Lord, but has he rearranged? Has he put something back together? Or maybe you don't even know the power of Jesus Christ that can impact your life this morning. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." Not going to get anywhere. But it continues on in verse 7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Psalms 118, 8 and 9 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Even those who are in authority or those who have great influence, it's better to trust in God than them. I've come to tell you that the entire reason that God robed himself in flesh, came to earth, was born of a virgin, died on the cross, is to take discombobulated lives and recombobulate them. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 10, starting in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for you, for me, for everyone, so we could have life and life abundantly. Let's just thank him right now. Let's take a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The power is in God, not our own strength, not our own power, not our own might. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Why? Because of the power that's in God. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because of the power that's in God, not because of us. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Why? Because of the power of God in our lives. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And what is that treasure that's in earthen vessels? Earthen vessels is us. That treasure is the light of the gospel that is placed in us, those earthen vessels. And what is that treasure? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ living in our lives. Check out, let's go right before this passage, go to verses 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news, that word. It's good news. It's good news because we can identify with Jesus when we do die to ourselves in repentance. We die to our own attempts to put our lives together. And just as he was buried, we identify with him when we are baptized in Jesus' name and all our sins are washed away. And as he rose again, we can rise again in new life as he did when we are filled with his spirit, with the evidence of speaking in a new language. The gospel. Jesus is the God of recombobulation. He can and he wants to put our lives back together as we give our lives to him. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible is full of promises for a discombobulated life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you give your life to God, he's going to make it new. That's the promise. When you go through security at an airport, everything that goes through the scanners should, in theory, come out. And you pack it all back up and you go on your way. Hopefully they don't grab your cash. I don't know where that came from. It's not in my notes, really. It wasn't. Random. Pew. But when God recombobulates us, he may ask that we add something into our lives. You know, sometimes we say, well, I just, my life's a mess, just fix that, and I'll live normal but without the issues. Well, we may need to add some things into our lives that we don't have. He may, for example, ask to, we may be asked to add forgiveness into our hearts for someone who did us wrong. Well, I just want you to fix the hurt from what that person did to me. Yeah, he'll heal you, but there needs to be forgiveness too. He may ask you to take something, leave some things behind. And you know what? You don't need this anymore. I'm just going to take that from your life. For example, we may be asked to leave our method of medicating the pain behind and truly rely on him. Leave that substance behind. Walk away from it. Leave that relationship behind. Leave that addiction behind. Leave that sense of fulfillment or identity from a job behind and say, you know what? Yeah, I still got a job. Don't quit your jobs, please. But I got to leave what is filling that void in my life and truly turn to him. Whatever the case, all things will become new when we are in Christ. We're going to be a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What an amazing promise in the Lord. Another promise is found in Psalm 37, verses 23 to 26. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. We're living in the Lord, and he creates a new creation. He is going to establish. He's not going to leave us and forsake us. He's not going to, you know, sometimes there's instantaneous recombobulation. Other times things take a long time. Sometimes things are deep rooted. And so God has to work and peel another layer off and get a little deeper. And you know what? He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you every step of the way. You're not going to be begging bread. He's going to keep his hand with you on your life. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." And so in a world that's crazy, and maybe that's the area that you're discombobulated this morning, listen, God is not the author of confusion. If you're struggling in your mind, it's not of God. He's the God of peace. And so like the previous scripture we read, we're perplexed and we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. A lot of external things going on. But you know what? Internally, our response is, you know what? God's got it. That's what it's all about. It doesn't say that. Scripture is not saying that, hey, everything is going to be perfect in life. Look at our world. We have to live in this world. And it's a confusing time. It can be mentally draining, and so I want to encourage you that God, in the midst of that, is not the author of confusion. So if you're feeling confused this morning, that is not of God. He is the God of peace, and he wants to take that confusion, that mental struggle, and turn it and give you peace this morning. John 14, 27 continues on the peace theme and says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Psalms 107, 19, 20. Again, we're talking about the promises of God. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and he healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Isaiah 40, 31 continues, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Are you tired? Man, some days I just wake up tired, not physically, but just drained of life, especially now. And I know we're going through it, all the different issues. And we're living through a global pandemic. And we're living through this, and we're living through that, social issues and life issues. There's been a lot of things this summer in the church body. A lot of sicknesses, those who have passed away, relatives, those who are dealing with all sorts of issues. But if we wait on the Lord, he's going to renew our strength. He's going to recombobulate us and take that discombobulation in our lives and just, you know what? Just wait on me. Wait on me. Rest in me. Amen. Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. If you have a hurt this morning, if there's been a wound, he will heal you. He will heal you. We can go on and on about the promises of God and how he wants to be the God of recombobulation in your life. So many scriptures, so many encouragement in the Word of God. Amen. But we are discombobulated. We can try to put it back together ourselves, but we really can't, because Jesus is the God of recombobulation. And the Bible is full of promises that tell us every area. We look back at David's life, every one of those areas. God is here to fix. God is here to help. God is here to recombobulate. So what must we do? When I went to create and print the schedules for today's service, that's when I knew God was orchestrating this message to be heard. We sang the song, Gracefully Broken, today. The chorus says, here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. The song is an echo in my mind of Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So three things. It says, come to me. We have to acknowledge that we need Jesus and come to him. He can't, he's, what was that scripture? It said he's gentle. I love Sister Vicky, and she always says, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't just come and say, well, he's all knowing. He knows everything about us. And like, they need a healing, so even though they've never asked, I'm just going to take it from. No, he wants you to acknowledge. There's a scripture, and I didn't, when I was studying, I read it, a story, and didn't write it down, didn't think it was pertinent, but just came to me. Jesus asked one of the lame men, what do you need? Well, duh, Jesus. He's on the floor. He can't walk. Or maybe it was the blind man. I don't remember. Like, he can't see God. Like, why are you? But he wanted the man to identify and say, you know what? I'm blind, Jesus. God knows what's going on in your life. But he wants you to come to him, which means saying, God, I need you. God, I'm not going to try myself anymore. We have to acknowledge we need Jesus. Number two, take my yoke, it says. A yoke is a piece of farm equipment that connects two oxen so they can plow the field or do the work together. This is hard concept, because what it means is we're saying, I'm going to yoke myself with God. And what does that mean? Well, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever omnipresent. That means that he's going to be leading. He's going to be directing. We're just yoked up with him and going with him. And this is hard, because when our lives are discombobulated, when our lives are out of control, we instinctively grasp for control. We instinctively try to hold on tight and try to manage things. Again, it goes back to the trying to do things yourself, but it's that control. Like, no, my life is so out of control, so all I know to do is to try to control the situation. But God is saying, take my yoke. And so we have to give up control. That's hard. That's not an easy task. We have to come to him. We have to say, God, I need help. But then he's saying, okay, give up that situation. Give up control. Stop trying. Give it all up. And lastly, as the musicians come, it says, learn from me. We have to let him show us our true selves. We have to learn about our true selves so that we can be recombobulated. We have to let him teach us. Let him show us. Because as we've heard in previous messages the last couple months, you know, some things are because God is working in our lives or trying to get our attention. Some things are because there's an exterior force or element in our lives. Some things it's because of us and poor choices that we're making, for example. And so we have to be willing to learn. And again, part of that learning process may be saying, okay, I got to leave this behavior because that's what I've always defaulted to in my life. So I'm going to leave that behavior and just trust in God and learn of him. Learn how to react. Learn how to deal. Learn how to cope. Learn how to manage. Learn how to maneuver through life. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Going to the words of the song, Gracefully Broken, it says, all to Jesus now. I'm holding nothing back. I surrender. And you know what the result's going to be? It says, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. The heaviness, the discombobulation will be no more because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Well, no, I got to give up control. I got to give up my way. No. Yeah, you do. But you think that's just like, well, then I want to have a say. Well, you can, and they'll still be heavy. Your burden will still be there. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to relinquish control. And God's promise, his yoke is easy. Not might be, it is easy. His burden is light. Let God take the burden. Let God take the heaviness. Just rest in him. If you feel out of sorts, if you're anxious, if your health has gone topsy-turvy, if your relationships are seemingly imploding, if you're restless, if you're uneasy, if you're depressed, if your life is discombobulated in one of these or in any other way, I implore you to call out to the God of recombobulation with the same words as the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:14 says in the message, God, pick up the pieces. Put me back together again. If you would stand with me. I've already said it, but as I prepared this, I felt so strongly there was someone or some ones that needed to hear this morning. Needed to be tuning in online, in your home, to hear this morning. Listening to the archive someday. It's a weird thought, but God transcends time, and I believe it. Someone's going to listen to this on the day they need this. I'll be honest, I felt discombobulated the last few months. Your whole way of living thrown out the window. You know, some folks feel discombobulated because there's a mask you have to wear. And you breathe in and you feel like Darth Vader. And that's discombobulating, man. But you know what? God is the God of recombobulation. Masks are just a small thing. But there's deep issues. There's deep things that have been happening, I believe in, and I believe God wants to minister to someone's heart this morning. So as we begin to sing, I want to encourage you to seek after the Lord, to come, to take His yoke, and to learn from Him. If you're here worshiping with us in person today, I want to encourage you. We have a tradition to come to the front. I know we need to social distance, whatever you're comfortable with, but I would invite you to come if you're comfortable. If you're not, please find a, turn around in your seat, have a seat, sit down, kneel at your pew. Find a place to implore the Lord. God, pick up the pieces. Put me back together again. If you're at home, some of these deeper issues, when we come in public, it's like, I don't want to mess with this, but hey, you're at home right now listening online. Find your prayer closet at home and give this to the Lord. You have a prime opportunity. No one's there but God, and He knows. I want to encourage you to come, take His yoke, learn of Him. Amen. Let's sing this morning. Let's seek after the Lord. All to Jesus. I'm going to give you everything, God. I'm not going to hold anything back, God. I'm going to surrender everything to you, Jesus. I give you everything, Jesus. I relinquish control this morning, Jesus. I need you, God. I can't do this on my own, God. Let's cry out to the Lord this morning.